Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
What are the specific complaints against Mubarak anyway? Well, let's see. When he inherited the leadership of Egypt after Sadat's assassination in 1981 by four members of the Muslim Brotherhood, he promised democratic reforms. He proclaimed, quote, "Our eventual goal is to create an equal society, not a society of privileges and class distinctions. Social justice is the first rule for peace and stability in society," end quote. However, over the last 30 years, quote, "Mubarak became a symbol not of equality, but of deep corruption," end quote. It sounds very familiar, does it not? Lenin, even Stalin, Pol Pot, and those recent Beijing butchers, remember Tiananmen Square and the massacre there. All children of Marx, you know, appeal to the innate envy in the children of disobedience, which, by the way, refers to those who reject the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. You handling that okay? You get your oxygen handy? Anyway, the resident evil in man's basic nature, inherited from their head, even Satan, who, envious of God's glory, vainly exalted himself against the throne of heaven, declaring, quote, "I will be like the Most High," end quote. Yes, my friends, this is the birth of communism. In the heart of this fiend of hell, in that creature's heart, was born the notion that inequality is unfair, that the Creator refusing to allow his creatures to be equal to him is unfair and unjust. And in a bid to demand equality with God, Lucifer, the father of the communist spirit, led the first revolution against the tyranny of inequality. And he continues to appeal to man's envy of others, having anything they don't have in order to stir them into rebellion. And yet, it's always the same. Just like their own predecessor, they end up oppressing, killing, destroying, provoking murder and mayhem in their maniacal, absurd protest against a perverse notion of inequality. Now think about this, my dear friends. Communism looks at the externals and resents inequality there. And in order to impose a superficial, external equality upon all mankind, and really even nature itself, they must trample upon divine equality of spirit and value of humanity and inalienable liberties warranted to all of those created in the image and likeness of God. Now, folks, I realize I didn't give you a sufficient warm-up, perhaps, for such a power insight blast so soon in your massage today. But sometimes it's necessary to bear down hard upon a knot in the brain in order to loosen the grip of darkness upon the heart. Come on, work your thoughts. Now, listen deep. Communism looks at apparent inequality, superficial inequalities, like financial station or societal distinctions. They see one man drives a Rolls and another drives a Volks and thinks that is inequality. And envious of another man's wealth or natural endowments of beauty, intelligence, strength, they seethe with covetousness, giving birth to the evil of envy, the resident evil in human nature, birthed in our race from Adam's fall, succumbing to his wife's pursuit of divinity. This is very interesting. The same lust that corrupted the heart of that angel called Lucifer, known as the covering cherub, that which turned him into the devil, was lusting to be equal with God. And he corrupted Eve with that same lie of covetousness. The idea that by, you know, God keeping certain glories from some creatures, that he was being unfair, unjust, depriving them of something they had a right to. So she succumbed to the seduction to join the rebellion against superficial inequality. And thereby, through her, was brought into the world tyranny against man's God-given right to the dominion of this earth. Follow along, class. The first rebel against inequality was Satan. But don't you see it? Listen close. It was rebellion against superficial, outward indications of of equality or inequality. For example, God had granted to man the dominion over this whole world, didn't he? And we're to subdue it. And that, of course, made man ruler over the earth. Now, Satan comes along, seduces Eve, and through Eve snares man in the rebellion to aspire to an equality with God. And seeking this equality with God, man came under the tyranny of selfishness, covetousness, and envy, which leads necessarily to murder and mayhem. It does. Now, look, in the name of forcing a superficial equality on mankind, these children of the devil. Oh, that's right, Mr. Beck. The Bible you claim to believe tells us there are such men and women in this world that God identifies as children of the devil, as contrasted to those others who are children of God. And by the way, one way we can know the difference is whether they yield to the rule of Jesus the Christ or refuse to bow the knee to his right to rule the earth. Man, I hope you secularites are handling this okay. By the way, see show number 301. Titled, Is Every Man My Brother? But no more time for that. Look, I'm about to hit that spot in the brain that will release a burst of insight. So hang on. Here it is. You see, communism, and I'm going to explain where this ties into what's going on today in Egypt in a moment. So hang on. Communism appeals to the envy of men who are easily provoked into a self-righteous anger over superficial inequalities. And by superficial, I mean those inequalities that are perceived in station or possessions, even honor, you know. This spirit extends to natural abilities, giving certain persons an advantage in certain competitive circumstances or situations, right? So that now in our schools, we must equalize everything on a superficial level, you know, by, say, making certain no one gets a greater or a bigger or a better prize than someone else, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, you know, in a competition, because everyone's contribution is supposed to be regarded as equal, which, of course, is patent nonsense. And wait till this finally works its way in corrupting competitive sports. You know, one reason sports is so popular in America is because so far it is one of the few places left in our society where excellence can be recognized and rewarded. Wait for it. Here it comes. The insight. Listen, communism intends by force to impose a superficial external appearance of equality upon society at the cost of real equality. You see, the very act of imposing this superficial equality upon all necessarily results in destroying real equality, actual equality. Equality in standing before the law, for example. Equality in spiritual matters, such as notions of justice and judgment and equity, a freedom of conscience, freedom of thought, freedom of worship. Wake up! Imposing superficial equality on society requires the forfeiture of real equality in all of the areas that actually matter. Freedom of your speech, freedom to assemble peaceably, freedom to work, ownership of your own labor, my friend, the right to worship according to the dictates of your own conscience, freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, the right to move about freely in your own home country. Wake up! Communism promises equality, but the equality it promises is superficial, and by the way, can never be delivered. There will always be someone who will have more than someone else. Hey, listen, it is impossible to erase this superficial layer of inequality that's apparent throughout all of God's creation, really. Those who promise to do so inevitably set themselves up as well to be the ones who are not so equal as the others, as everyone under them. They're the ones who own all the property. They're the ones who have all the privileges. It's like a joke that ran common in Russia. Everyone in Russia is equal. It's just that some are more equal than others. Har, har. Now get this. When someone starts talking about imposing equality in superficial areas like possessions and position, social status, and so on, it always requires taking away equality in the things that really matter. To superimpose physical equality requires removing spiritual equality. This notion was birthed in the heart of Lucifer, and he continues to be the champion of this rebellion against inequality. Now, what has this to do with Mubarak in Egypt and all of that? Well, Mubarak began by promising equality to everyone. The equality he promised was to be achieved by erasing class distinctions and establishing something all Marxists like to call social justice. These are high-sounding words that probably most of us would accept as legitimate goals, but what Mr. Mubarak should have been focused on was establishing protections of the God-given inalienable rights shared by all mankind in common. Not the idea that everyone has the right to be equal in possessions and privileges. My friend, securing the inalienable inalienable rights of all men, the spirit and soul of a man, in his thinking, his conscience, the ownership of his labor, this kind of thing. That will do more to break down class barriers than any government-imposed superficial equality. Now you say, well, Mubarak was talking about socialism, not communism. Oh, really? Some will go so far as to suggest Mubarak was actually talking about democracy in Egypt. Listen, folks, another brain massage moment's on its way. Look, Marx and his pupils understood that socialism was a way to give, quote, history a push, end quote, as Lenin liked to put it, toward communism. In fact, Lenin said, quote, the goal of socialism is communism, end quote. Oh, yeah. And by the way, with regard to your beloved democracy, Lenin said, quote, democracy is indispensable to socialism, end quote. So the plan is to get everybody thinking democracy, democracy, democracy. See, that's the easiest pill to swallow. And that will open the door to socialism, 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 which will inevitably lead to communism, communism, communism. And every bit of it is powered by the resident evil in human nature, which is covetousness. A covetousness that can be manipulated or inflamed into envy, and the most dangerous form of envy, an envy fortified by a self-righteous notion like economic justice or social equality. And this, my friends, is without any question the most formidable force for evil on this planet. Oh, yes. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. The good book says, quote, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who can stand before envy, end quote. The evil one and his minions manipulate into their service the power of envy to bring entire nations into the dark power of tyranny. Promising a superficial equality, which appeals to human covetousness, they stir up the power of mob envy. And they use this mob to rob us of our liberty. And then turn around and enslave the fools they've duped into becoming pawns in their game to take control of our lives. Well, look, here's the point. Much of what we hear and read from our own President Barack is about social justice, economic justice. And even when he talks about rights, his focus is on the superficial, the external areas of rights, as the right for this or that race to be esteemed or respected. Things like that you can see appeal to that resident evil in human nature to be equal in things that are actually superficial and don't really matter. Yet, at the same time, he's reaching to take control of areas where equality really does matter, like free speech. He's made statements that sound like Lenin. Indeed, they have a Leninesque aura about them. He hits notes in his speeches that vibrate resonantly with Lenin's idea that, he said it this way, quote, it is true that liberty is precious, so precious that it must be carefully rationed, end quote. But this together with another Lenin favorite quote, the best way to destroy the capitalist system is to debauch the currency, end quote. Obama's obvious resentment of Fox News and sometimes not so covert efforts to silence their reporting and the free reporting that goes on the internet betrays his agreement with another Lenin maxim. Quote, the press should not only be a collective propagandist and a collective agitator, but also a collective organizer of the masses, end quote. And you see, Fox News just and the independent news outlets out there just don't always play ball, you know, by the rules of the current administration. When you consider the complaints Egyptians have against Mubarak, they are similar to what we see coming from our own Mubarak. With the exception, of course, that Mubarak cannot throw dissidents into jail for speaking against him. At least, not yet. He can only tell them to sit down and shut up, in so many words. Well, he put it like this. He doesn't want his opposition to be, quote, doing a lot of talking, end quote. Same spirit. A spirit that is under the restraints, however, of our elegant system of governance bequeathed to us by men who understood very well the dangers of giving too much power to any individual. Who understood, by the way, the danger of encouraging an imperialist royalty idea of presidency. That he is superior in his person simply because he holds a higher office of position or power. And I'll tell you what, it's a bad idea. It's a bad spirit. I much prefer a straight-shooting cowboy like the sometimes verbal stumbling Bush to a slick aristocratic elitist snob who imagines himself to be royalty. No, sir! I'll take the good old-fashioned American spirit and tradition of disdain for pomp and suspicion of power any day. All you have to do is look, again, at how Obama, Reid, and Pelosi, the dictatorial triumvirate, betrayed our representative form of government in pushing Obamacare down our throats. My friends, that is Mubarak-style governing. That's the way it was done under Mubarak in Egypt, perhaps a bit more efficiently, since Mubarak didn't have to deal with the American Constitution. But make no mistake, the spirit operating in Obama, Reid, Pelosi is the same one that operates in guys like Mubarak. It's all about, you know, social justice. Economic justice. Watch his actions. While he's talking like that, making moves to limit free speech, to control the press, to gain control of the internet, to get himself a kill switch so he can block access to the internet overnight if he feels he needs to. Put all this together and you've got America's Mubarak. All right, I gotta take a break and give your brain a breather. Take deep breaths. Don't let your head go to sleep on me now. You might be a bit fatigued after such a vigorous mental workout, a brain massage, but more to come after this.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lights of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Let's get started. The situation in Egypt has got our attention right now, but don't forget, we've got our own revolution brewing right here. The progressives have been sneakily for many years, getting us to think of ourselves as a democracy. Benjamin Franklin is credited with the observation that democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for dinner. A republic is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Our founders despised the notion of democracy. That's a fact. They championed the notion of representative republic. When Franklin was asked what sort of government they had formed for the new nation, he answered, "A republic if you can keep it." But slowly and steadily and stealthily, communists in this country have succeeded at getting us to self-identify as a democracy rather than as a republic. Lenin, way back in the 1920s, said, quote, "Democracy is indispensable to socialism," end quote. And, quote, "The goal of socialism is communism," end quote. You'd better wake up. You know, it won't be too long before we'll have an openly socialist candidate for office. Most of us would say we've already got one in office. As Lenin said, quote, "The goal of socialism is communism," end quote. And the force of envy, or the power of envy, is what is used to drive the engine that leads to the tyranny of communism. You see, there is a resident evil in the nature of man called covetousness. This covetousness is easily inflamed in the heart of the have-nots into envy against the haves. Envy is a great power in the world. The Bible asks, but who can stand before envy? Even Christ Jesus was murdered because of envy. Entire nations have been brought under murdering tyrants who came to power by appealing to man's natural covetousness and thus manipulating the power of the envy of the masses into their service. But my friends, there is one power sufficient to counter the power of envy-motivated masses in the hands of tyrants, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh yeah. Now that is the power, by the way, that produced the generation that fought and won our American Revolution and framed our Constitution. It's a fact, by the way, that is purposely ignored. Lenin said, quote, "Our program necessarily includes the propaganda of atheism," end quote. And who has not seen the propaganda of atheism wash over this land? And by the way, this is the reason communists in this country have attempted to use the Constitution to rid the influence of Christianity from our culture, and they've created the false idea that religious people have nothing to say about political things, unless they're liberal. The liberal religious folks, they're all welcome, have you noticed? But conservative religious people are characterized as straying out of their place in the world. You better pay attention to this. They've created a false idea that secularism is religiously neutral. It is not. And that's another show, but hey, that is a flat-out lie. Secularism only hates one religion, and that is the religion of Jesus Christ, and one particular version of that religion, the one represented in his words when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the one they don't like. The one that formed this culture. The culture in which was birthed the glorious declaration that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. The Christianity that espoused freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. The gospel that George Washington recommended to the nation and to the Indians. What you need to understand is that what I'm telling you was the essential, or is the essential worldview that was shared by almost all Americans in the beginning of this great country. That's what you need to understand. And that is why our founders said things like they longed for the day or looked forward to the day when every nation would lay its scepter down at Jesus' feet, who is Lord of Lords, and so on. They made those proclamations openly because that was the mindset at that time. Now, the situation at present is this. The King, Jesus, has gone into heaven to wait for the day he will be sent by his Father to lay down the law in the earth as it is in heaven. When he will rule with a rod of iron, by the way. Presently, we are commissioned as ambassadors of his kingdom to warn all men to repent and to believe on Jesus Christ in view of his soon return to judge the earth. But make no mistake, he is Lord now. Although his citizens send word after him will not have that man to reign over us, he is the Lord. Which, by the way, is the reason that in order to be saved, the fundamental issue is, or the fundamental that must be addressed, is his lordship. Quote, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, end quote. And then believe in your heart that he rose from the dead. Then thou shalt be saved, Romans 10:9-13. What I'm telling you is what was commonly known by virtually all Americans and believed in common by the vast majority of our founders. This is what shaped this nation. And it is the system that encouraged our founders to resist covetousness as a principle that guided their life, at least so far as to check its ability to energize a mob by envy to overtake the liberty and rights of others. So they established a system of checks and balances to check that resonant evil of covetousness in human nature that they recognized plagued all mankind, and to provide for the protection of the inalienable divine rights God has given to every individual, and to protect our individual inalienable rights from either the dictatorship of the ruling aristos or the dictatorship of the proletariat, which supposedly means dictatorship of the working class. But dictatorship is dictatorship after all, and we believe our rights are ours from God, and not on loan from either the government or any mob. They're not granted by any thugs, whether they wear a white or a blue collar. So this has been an interesting show, but I'm running out of time, so let me summarize the point I want to make here regarding the revolt in Egypt. First, America should never position itself in any alignment with dictators, even if they are friendly to us or thought to be useful for some national interest. It's foolhardy. It has backfired on us many times, as it did in Iran, for example, and now in Egypt. And by the way, Lenin also said, quote, there are no morals in politics. There is only expedience. A scoundrel may be of use to us just because he is a scoundrel, end quote. So you see, Leninism has leavened our politics in this country, and we're beginning to see the effects. But my point right now is that it's not only principally wrong, which should be enough to dissuade anyone from adopting such an evil policy, it is simply practically not in our interest to do so. In the long run, it's short-sighted. It's immoral. America should never be in a position to have to support dictators anywhere ever. I'll address some other time the specious arguments clever men devise to blind us to the real problems this creates in another time, at another time, another show. But suffice it here to say, it's never right to do wrong to do right. And when you do wrong to do right, you make wrong what was right. You never right a wrong. You always end up wronging a right. That was beautiful. It might sound crazy and convoluted to you, but you think about that statement and sort it through your mind. You'll see it's brilliant. Okay, second, there is a large contingent of Christians who are participating in that uprising. Now, at first, the Muslims were biding their time on the sideline, assuming that if Mubarak topples, they had enough popular sympathy to get the people to turn to them for leadership and finally fulfill Sadat's original promise to bring Egypt under Sharia law. Oh, yeah, by the way, Sadat got power by kowtowing to the Shiite Muslims, making a deal with the Muslim Brotherhood. But he ticked them off when he started making nice with Israel, and that's what got him killed. Anyway, when the Muslim Brotherhood noticed that the uprising was orchestrated by pro-democracy forces and that Christians might get a foothold in power through this, well, then they noticed that America's Muslim-sympathizing president had made it clear he was going to support them getting a place at the table under a reorganization of the government. Oh, yeah. Obama's supporting the idea that the Muslim Brotherhood should be recognized as legitimate in Egypt and have a place at the table, so to speak, when it looked like things might quiet down with Mubarak making some conciliatory moves. Well, from the word I'm getting is that the radical jihad-headed ragheads started provoking violence. I know it's multi-layered. It's not as simple as that, but I'm cutting through the clutter, looking at the essential heart of this whole situation. And now third and finally, we need to make very sure that Egypt does not become another Iran. And so much depends on what the president alleged does right now that we don't have a whole lot of hope in that, but we'll see. But many are already calling this Obama's Iran moment. You know, rather than a Sputnik moment, he's getting an Iran moment. And if it's still percolating out there next week, I'll offer some more very revealing insight into what's developing over there. But until next week, my friends, I must say au revoir. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. And let me know what you think about these things. Leave me a message. You say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. If you want me to call you back, leave your number and let me know you want the call back, and I will call you back. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample. Call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.